Krishna Book, Canto 12, Rukmini, Chapter 60, Scene 5, Rukmini's Understanding of Her Relationship with Krishna. In this way, when Lord Krishna pacified Rukmini by his sweet words, Rukmini could understand that what was formerly spoken by Krishna was not actually meant, but was spoken to evoke some joking pleasure between themselves. Rukmini was therefore pacified upon hearing the words of Krishna. Gradually she was freed from all fearfulness of separation from Krishna, and Rukmini began to look upon Krishna's face very cheerfully with her naturally smiling face. Rukmini responded, "My dear lotus-eyed Lord, your statement that we are not a fit combination is completely right. It is not possible for me to come to an equal level with you, because you are the reservoir of all qualities. You are the unlimited, supreme personality of Godhead. So how can I be a fit match for you? There is no possibility of comparison with you, for you are the master of all greatness, the controller of the three qualities, and the object of worship for great demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva. As far as I am concerned, I am a production of the three modes of material nature. The three modes of material nature are impediments toward the progressive advancement of devotional service. So when and where can I be a fit match for you? My dear husband, you have rightly said also that being afraid of the kings, you have thus taken shelter in the water of the sea. But who are the kings of this material world? I do not think that the so-called royal families are kings of the material world. The kings of the material world are the three modes of material nature. They are actually the controllers of this material world. And you are situated in the core of everyone's heart, where you remain completely aloof from the touch of the three modes of material nature. And there is no doubt about this. You say you always maintain enmity with the worldly kings. But who are the worldly kings? I think the worldly kings are the senses. They are most formidable, and they control everyone. Certainly you maintain enmity with these material senses. You are never under the control of the senses. Rather, you are the controller of the senses, Rishikesha. My dear Lord Krishna, you have said that you are bereft of all royal power, and that is also correct. Not only are you bereft of material world supremacy, but even your servants, those who have some attachment to your lotus feet, also give up the material world supremacy, because they consider the material position to be the darkest region which checks the progress of spiritual enlightenment. Your servants do not like material supremacy, so what to speak of you? My dear Lord Krishna, your statement that you do not act as an ordinary person with a particular aim in life is also perfectly correct, for even your great devotees and servants, known as great sages and saintly persons, remain in such a state that no one can get any clue to the aim of their lives. They are considered by human society to be crazy and cynical. Their aim of life remains a mystery to the common human being. The lowest of mankind can know neither you nor your servant. A contaminated human being cannot even imagine the pastimes of you and your devotees. O unlimited one, When the activities and endeavors of your devotees remain a mystery to the common human being, how can they understand your motive and endeavor? All kinds of energies and opulences are engaged in your service, but still they are resting at your shelter. You have described yourself as penniless, but this condition is not poverty. Since there is nothing in existence but yourself, you do not require to possess anything, for you yourself are everything. Unlike others, you do not require to purchase anything extraneously. With you, all contrary things can be adjusted, because you are absolute. You do not possess anything, but no one is richer than you. In the material world, no one can be rich without possessing. Since your lordship is absolute, you can adjust the contradiction of possessing nothing, but at the same time being the richest. In the Vedas, it is stated that although you have no material hands and legs, still you accept everything which is offered in devotion by your devotees. You have no material eyes and ears, but still you can see everything everywhere, and you can hear everything everywhere. Although you do not possess anything, the great demigods who accept prayers and worship from others come and worship you to solicit your mercy. So, how can you be categorized among the poor? My dear Lord Krishna, you have also stated that the richest section of human society does not worship you. And this is also correct because persons who are puffed up with material possessions think of utilizing their property for sense gratification. When a poverty-stricken man becomes rich, he makes a program for sense gratification. This is due to ignorance of how to utilize one's hard-earned wealth. Under the spell of the external energy, he thinks that his wealth is properly employed in sense gratification, and thus he neglects to render transcendental service. My dear Lord Krishna, you have stated that persons who possess nothing are very dear to you. Renouncing everything, your devotee wants to possess you only. I see, therefore, that a great sage like Narada Muni, who does not possess any material property, is still very dear to you. And such persons do not care for anything but your lordship. My dear Lord Krishna, you have stated that a marriage between persons equal in status of social standing, beauty, riches, strength, influence, and renunciation can be a suitable match. But this status of life can only be possible by your grace. You are the supreme perfectional source of all opulences. Whatever opulent status of life one may have is all derived from you. As described in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadyasya Yata, you are the supreme source from which everything emanates, the reservoir of all pleasures. Therefore, persons who are endowed with knowledge desire only to achieve you and nothing else. To achieve your favor, they give up everything, even the transcendental realization of Brahman. You are the supreme ultimate goal of life. You are the reservoir of all interests of the living entities. Those who are actually well motivated desire only you, and for this reason they give up everything in order to attain success. They therefore deserve to be associated with you. In the society of the servitors and served in Krishna consciousness, one is not subjected to the pains and pleasures of material society, which functions according to sex attraction. Therefore, everyone, man or woman, should seek to be an associate in your society of servitors and served. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can excel you, nor can anyone come up to an equal level with you. The perfect social system is that in which you remain in the center, being served as the Supreme, and all others engage as your servitors. In such a perfectly constructed society, everyone can remain eternally happy and blissful. My Lord, you have stated that only the beggars praise your glories, and that is also perfectly correct. But who are those beggars? Those beggars are all exalted devotees, liberated personalities, and those in the renounced order of life. They are all great souls and devotees who have no other business than to glorify you. Such great souls forgive even the worst offender. These so-called beggars execute their spiritual advancement of life, tolerating all kinds of tribulations within this material world. My dear husband, do not think that out of my inexperience I accepted you as my husband. Actually, I followed all these great souls. I followed the path of these great beggars and decided to surrender my life unto your lotus feet. You have said that you are penniless, and that is correct. You distribute yourself completely to these great souls and devotees. Knowing this fact perfectly well, I rejected even such great personalities like Lord Brahma and King Indra. My Lord, the great time factor acts under your direction only. The time factor is so great and powerful that within moments it can effect devastation anywhere within the creation. Considering all these factors, I thought Jarasandha, Shishupala, and similar other princes who wanted to marry me to be no more important than ordinary insects. My dear all-powerful son of Vasudeva, your statement that you have taken shelter within the water of the ocean, being afraid of all the great princes, is quite suitable. But my experience with you contradicts this. For I have actually seen that you kidnapped me forcibly in the presence of all these princes. At the time of my marriage ceremony, simply by giving a jerk to the string of your bow, you very easily drove the others away and kindly gave me shelter at your lotus feet. I vividly remember still that you kidnapped me in the same way as a lion forcibly takes its share of hunted booty, driving away all other small animals within the twinkling of an eye. My dear lotus-eyed Lord, I cannot understand your statement that women and other persons who have taken shelter under your lotus feet pass their days only in bereavement. From the history of the world, we can see that princes like Anga, Prithu, Bharata, Yayati, and Gaya were all great emperors of the world, and there were no competitors to their exalted positions. But in order to achieve the favor of your lotus feet, they renounced their exalted positions and entered into the forest to practice penances and austerities. So, when they voluntarily accepted such a position, accepting your lotus feet as all in all, does it mean that they were in lamentation and bereavement? My dear Lord Krishna, you have advised me that I can still select another from the princely order and divorce myself of your companionship. But, my dear Lord Krishna, it is perfectly well known to me that you are the reservoir of all good qualities. Great saintly persons like Narada Muni are always engaged in simply glorifying your transcendental characteristics. If someone simply takes shelter of such a saintly person, he or she immediately becomes freed from all material contamination. And by coming in direct contact with your service, the goddess of fortune agrees to bestow all her blessings. Under the circumstances, what woman who has once heard of your glories from authoritative sources and somehow or other has tasted the nectarian flavor of your lotus feet could be so foolish enough to agree to marry someone of this material world who is always afraid of death, disease, old age, and rebirth? I have therefore accepted your lotus feet, not without consideration, but after mature and deliberate decision. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the master of the three worlds. You can fulfill all the desires of all your devotees in this world and the next, because you are the supreme soul of everyone. I have therefore selected you as my husband, considering you to be the only fit personality. You may throw me into any species of life according to the reaction of my fruitive activities, and I haven't the least concern for this. My only ambition is that I may always remain fast to your lotus feet, because you can deliver your devotees from illusory material existence, and you are always prepared to distribute yourself to your devotees. My dear Lord Krishna, you have advised me to select one of the princes, such as Shishupala, Jarasandha, or Dantavakra. But what is their position in this world? They are always engaged in hard labor to maintain their household life, just like bulls working hard day and night with the oil pressing machine. They are compared to asses, beasts of burden. They are always dishonored like dogs, and they are miserly like cats. They have sold themselves like slaves to their wives. Any unfortunate woman who has never heard of your glories may accept such a man as her husband. But a woman who has learned about you, that you are praised not only in this world, but in the halls of the great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, will not accept anyone besides yourself as her husband. A man within this material world is just a dead body. In fact, superficially, the living entity is covered by this body, which is nothing but a bag of skin decorated with beards and mustaches, hairs all over the body, nails on the fingers and hairs on the head. Within this decorated bag, there are bunches of muscles, bundles of bones, pools of blood, always mixed up with stool, urine, mucus, bile, and polluted air, and enjoyed by different kinds of insects and germs. A foolish woman accepts such a dead body as her husband, in sheer misunderstanding, loves him as her dear companion. This is only possible because such a woman has never tasted the ever-blissful flavor of your lotus feet. My dear lotus-eyed husband, you are self-satisfied. You do not care whether or not I am beautiful or qualified. You are not at all concerned about it. Therefore, your non-attachment for me is not at all astonishing. It is quite natural. You cannot be attached to any woman, however exalted her position and beauty. Whether you are attached to me or not, may my devotion and attention be always engaged at your lotus feet. O Lord, the material mode of passion is also your creation. So when you passionately glance upon me, I accept it as the greatest boon of my life. I am ambitious only for such auspicious moments. Thus ends Chapter 60, Scene 5, Rukmini's Understanding of Her Relationship with Krishna. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vrishabhanu dadhi navashashileke lalita shakki guna ramita vishakhe radhe jaya jaya madhava daite radhe jaya jaya madhava daite radhe jaya jaya madhava daite. O Radha, O beloved of Madhava, O new moon who has arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu, O friend of Lalita, O you who make Vishakha loyal to you due to your wonderful qualities of friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna, all glories unto you, all glories unto you.